SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three at the races. Just off with Linda Rice, and happy to welcome in Jeremiah Englehart, who's having another good Saratoga as we think back to the period where we kept anticipating that Maya would break through at Saratoga, and then we knew that once that happened, the floodgates would open. That's exactly the way it's unfolded, and particularly when it comes to his work with the babies, with the two-year-olds, really standing out. And his horses break sharp and keep going. Nice performance on Saturday, winning the Adirondack, the Grade 2, Sue's Fortune, the Jumpstart Filly under Junior Alvarado. Maya Englehart, congratulations.
Thanks a lot, Steve, and thanks for having me on the show.
No, not at all. I'm glad I waited, actually. There were a couple of spots where I thought to reach out, and always better when there's a win like this to talk about. And, you know, she felt like, you know, a horse that had a real shot in here. And we see that the middle two-year-old stakes, the special and this, the Adirondack, very frequently the speed horses kind of fall away, and this is a place where we see stalker closer types, and it suited her to a T.
Yeah, I thought timing-wise, you know, I've seen this race in the past come up a little bit softer sometimes in the Schuylerville and the Spinaway at the end of the meet, and sometimes you have horses that win early on that come back and try to win the Adirondack, and maybe they don't run their A race coming back quick. And the track, you know, definitely played in our favor, I think, as well, being a double back racetrack. And it, you know, kind of, it was pretty, you know, tiring for the babies. And I thought Junior did a good job and when to make his decision on making his run, but it worked out well.
Let us get some insight into this New York bred. It's really been each weekend building up to the sale Saturday and Sunday. The New York breds have been doing their part, you know, winning Grade 1 races, running 1-2 in the Whitney. We just talked to Linda about Voodoo Dancer, and here was another one. And Richard Nicolay bred. It's a homebred because he operates under Fortune Farm as a race name. Talk about her development and what you saw from her early on getting ready for that win at Belmont.
Okay, well, she started out with Travis Durg at Webb Carroll Training Center, and she was one, you know, they said that she was training forwardly. She wasn't doing anything spectacular or anything like that in the mornings. We brought her up, like a lot of the babies that we thought would make Saratoga early on to Saratoga in April. And she was working well. Nothing really, you know, stood out when I was watching her works up here this spring. And then she just really excelled in that first race. She ran a lot better than I thought she would. I don't usually get too overconfident in my young horses. I'd rather have them, you know, pleasantly surprise me than not live up to their expectations, what I think they're going to do. But she's just one of those horses. She likes to run, and she wants to win. And I think when you have that combination, it makes the tactics and my job a lot easier.
How much of that do you see in the morning? And we certainly, particularly this year, when it came to Audible and all the discussion around him being an indifferent worker for Todd, and then, you know, being a very interested participant in the afternoon. So we hear that Morning Glory, and then horses that don't run in the afternoon. And obviously, you'd rather have the inverse, you know, a horse that doesn't give in the morning and but knows the difference, knows when it's game time.
Yeah, and it's important just to be able to see that. Like, I'll give you another example. That horse I have, Dirty, that three-year-old McLean's Music, who ran third in the quick call, he's a horse that when you work him in the morning, after he gets to the wire, he's not going to give you a gallop out. He's going to stop. And I used to let that bother me at first with him, but it was just him, I believe, just knowing when he has to, you know, where he has to work to and when he has to do it. And with those horses, I think that the smart ones know in the morning, you know, what they have to do. Like I said, with her, she was never going out there and breaking the clock or anything like that. But she just, when it came to game time, she knew when to turn it on. And that was the most impressive thing for me in her first start.
How robust a horse, how much time between races will you... I know the race didn't come back very fast, but will you consider an opportunity at the end of the meet for her?
Yeah, I think that race knocked her out a little bit. I think the track being a drier back rate track really kind of wore her down a little bit. She was quiet the first couple days back after that race. I'll keep her up here and train her back. I think what I'd probably do is point her towards the Frisette and give her the amount of time and into that next race.
Makes sense. And the beauty is, of course, you've also got all the New York company opportunities that you can avail yourself of with a horse like this.
Yeah, and that's, you know, like you said, if I wanted to try to make things a little bit lighter on her, you know, we could do that with the New York Reds. And that's to say, that might not be any lighter, too, the way they've been running. You know, I told Chad Brown last night, I said, you know, I was really happy and I was celebrating my win in the Adirondack. And so I watched his filly run yesterday. And that kind of settled me down a little bit.
Yeah, the winner feedback yesterday that was very impressive, absolutely. And there's been a steady parade of good maidens. Looking forward to today. The boys looks like it's staying on the turf, the fourth race. But
yeah,
big part of the meet, these baby races. Talk about a couple of other successes beyond this, and you've got plenty more to come. You've also been rained off a few times yourself. You've had a couple of horses that have had to reschedule.
Yeah, the coming off has hurt me a little bit more so in the beginning of the meet. But it hurts everybody. You know, some people are going to benefit from it. I'm hoping I entered a couple horses MTO later in the week, where I'm hoping that if it does get the rain that, you know, they foresee in the forecast, that might work to my benefit here. So I guess it goes in cycles. You get some and you lose some in Saratoga, and you just got to be nice to Saratoga, because she'll slap you right across the face if you don't, if you're not.
Well, let's take a second and talk about one of those bittersweet circumstances. And everybody coming out of the Troy last week was monitoring and very worried about Sandy Slough. His career's over, but it certainly will be looked fondly back on the win. And talk about, you know, the emotional swings involved with last week.
Yeah, that was like you said. I thought the special had the perfect quote. It was a hollow victory. I thought something went amiss with him the last 16th of a mile, just because the way the second place horse closed on him. I knew he was coming back to him awfully quick, and I was just happy to watch the TV screen and was watching Jose bring him across the track. You could definitely tell he was off, and then he had jumped off, and I just ran over with the state vet to check him out. And it didn't seem like on the screen like it was a a serious injury where it was life-threatening. And when I got over there, it was, you know, assured of that. They didn't have to put the Kimsey brace on, but he did pull his suspensory pretty good. And they told me he could come back to race, but yeah, he doesn't know anyone, everything. And Jim Riccio was just, you know, he was is so happy that he's okay. And you know, I think it's going to be Jose Ortiz's first horse out down in his farm that he just bought in Ocala. So he's out at Kathy and Dan Bear's Claws right now, just relaxing and healing up, and he'll have a nice life.
Nice. Well, you know, that it beats the you know, the other ending. I mean, when you have an incident, and for those that hadn't heard, he certainly went out with a big effort, a 102
yeah,
buyer, right? Yeah,
it was a race that we weren't even considering. We were trying to get him into a conditional allowance race. And that race did not go. I kind of, Jimmy didn't really want to run him in that race, the Troy. So I kind of talked him into it right before they closed. And we got a good post and a really good setup. And it ended up working out, you know, good as far as the race went.
Well, a lot of things going well. And we'll talk about some other players before the end of the meet, but I do want to let people know the Jack Better Be Right today at Finger Lakes. I wasn't going to forget that. You got an opportunity there, and you've been actually hitting on all cylinders back at the lakes.
Yeah, my Uncle Steve and Dana Saul and Tammy Lord, they run everything for me there. My wife and I, we moved actually this year in June to Saratoga, so we sold our house at Finger Lakes. So I don't, where normally I spend a lot of my time there, I'm spending more time now in Saratoga and with the Naira horses, and you know, go over to Finger Lakes every couple weeks. But they've been doing a great job this year. And yeah, Pride of Saratoga, she's a filly that she just got nosed out in that race last year. I feel like she's really coming into this race as good as she can be, and I'm looking forward to it. I was kind of hoping Rudy was I think he was trying to enter in the Saratoga Dew with Frosty Margarita, but I don't believe she's scratching out of that race today because they did not use the Saratoga Dew, so she'll probably be the one to beat.
Well, that goes later today as the seventh, the feature at Finger Lakes, and Jamie Rodriguez is going to ride. You actually got a busy day, too. You got what, 3-4 others as well. And then let's talk about what's happening here at Saratoga. We're off in the first and the third. And what are you doing? Grand Banks is staying in?
Grand Banks is going to stay in. We were debating on whether or not to run her. They have another maiden 40 at the end of the meet on September 3rd that we're going to shoot for. So we're going to keep her in today, kind of use this race as a work or prep for that race, and we won't lose our date. If it was a sloppy track, I would have brought her out because she just does not like that kind of surface. We're going to give her a shot on a fast track and see how it goes.
Nice. And, you know, Grand Banks, one of these funny horses that, you know, an owner, you say to yourself, it'd be nice to win, but just cashes checks. I mean, she's made 70,000 without winning.
Yeah, she's been one of those where I guess you don't mind if she runs second because she keeps on earning. She's one. I worked her last week with Sue's Fortune. I actually thought she kind of outworked Sue's Fortune a little bit. So maybe that actually played in my mind too, watching Sue's Fortune win that race and thinking about this filly today. So we'll see if that workout can be a key workout.
Karen's Gem in that well-matched group, that sixth race that starts the pick four, 25 claimer, and it looks like maybe 7 of the 9 can win.
Yeah, I'd hate to be a handicapper today and trying to start the pick four in that race because that's an all button, and then trying to find a single in somewhere else. That's a very competitive race.
Going to also, since I see it later today, for those that like Presque Isle, we talk every week with Dick Powell, you got runners in the fifth and the seventh. She Remembered in the fifth and Warthbathor in the seventh. What do we got?
She Remembered, the filly that was coming off a real tough trip in her start previously. I think she'll really enjoy that surface. I'm expecting good races out of both of them. Warthbathor just absolutely loves that racetrack. Again, there's another horse in there that kind of has been running 90 buyers that he's going to have to try to outrun, but he always shows up. And I think both of those horses are ultra consistent and should be there in the exotics.
Nice. Well, Presque has been, we've been alerting people to the viability of Presque Isle, and the racing's okay. I want to jump ahead to Thursday at Saratoga, and you've got maidens, No Stone Unturned and Bank Examiner.
Yeah, Bank Examiner was actually a filly early on. She was working with Sue's Fortune and outworking her early on. I was excited about her first race. I thought that she would be more turf, but the way she ran, I'm going to give her a shot on the dirt if it does come off, and I'll go from there. But she was a filly that we were high on all spring and leading up to her first race. So we're going to give her another shot if that race comes off. And No Stone Unturned is a filly for Roddy Valenti that we ran up at Finger Lakes in her first start, and she broke a little slow and ended up running a good second to a decent filly of Charlie Baker's. And I figured, you know, that was another, with the rain coming in, and if we had a shot to run her, you know, might be a good spot for her on Thursday.
Jeremiah Englehart with us, and got a couple of horses that may be coming up to starts. Our friend John, who tracks the babies, particularly Maya, China Cat.
Yeah, China Cat's a filly for Al Gold that's been working pretty well. Justin Phillip, filly that we bought privately after the April sale, and she's been a pleasant little surprise. She shows good quickness. She used herself, you know, in her stride. She's really what you want to see a horse, you know, move. She throws her legs out in front of her. You know, she doesn't, there's not a lot of wasted action there. She's a real nice little filly, and kind of hoping that she'll give a good shot of herself. I think there's a race for her. We were planning on the 19th.
Nice. So that's what, next Sunday. So watch for China Cat. And we got to get Al, you know, got to get Al to descend the stairs, arms outstretched.
He doesn't fall down them. For as excited as he gets, I try to stay close to him in case I have to try to catch him.
Well, I guess we can let everybody know Al's nickname for Maya is the Bullfrog, and.
The Bullfrog.
What about The Sinner Is You?
The Sinner Is You is a intermischief New York bred colt that we bought, I believe, in April as well. He's worked good. We worked him yesterday 5/8 with another colt of Lou Lesnero and Jim Riccio's, and I thought he gave a good account of himself. At the time, it wasn't anything fancy, but the way he did it was nice. And we're waiting. The third book just came online, so that's actually what I've been doing for most of the morning this morning. So we'll look for a race for him in this last book, and hopefully he runs to his works as well.
And finally, Utiki.
Utiki's a filly for the coach, Parcells, that actually I bought twice. I bought her as a yearling and for a pinhook partnership. And then this March, they liked what she was doing on the farm, and we bought her again privately after she RNA'd in the March sale. And she's been a filly. She's as honest as can be. She doesn't, you know, knock on wood, she hasn't done anything wrong. She loves the train, and she's handled everything we've thrown at her. She's another one that in this third book, hopefully, we can get a good spot and show what she has to do here at the end of the meet.
Tremendous. Well, Jeremiah, as always, pleasure to be able to congratulate you on a win like the Adirondack, as well as the Troy win, and everything else that's going so well. So finish strong.
I appreciate it.
Got 18 days left, and expect a few more trips to the winner's circle.
We're going to try.
No doubt. Jeremiah Engelhardt, everybody, and you can follow Maya on Twitter. I'm trying to think how often I see it. JCE Racing is Maya's Twitter account. And I forgot to ask him the most important question: how many more children have since we last talked? I think they've reached a ceiling. I think they've capped it at six. busy, this is the Engelhardt family way. You create your own barn help. That's the secret. Let's take a break. We're coming down to the bottom of the hour. We got Johnny V and Ian Wilkes to talk to yet. And Ian, of course, a winner at Ellis yesterday. Champagne Problems. Nice win in the groupie doll. But he also has got a runner in for Mary Lou today. And there's been plenty of other things going on. The Wilkes Barn. Let's take a timeout. Johnny V, Ian Wilkes, this last half hour, Monday at the races.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Can't be measured up in nothing. You weigh your hat We're back at the races exactly 11:30 here in the east, 8:30 out west, and happy that we can bring Ian Wilkes forward here on this Monday. And I thought there was a chance we'd be talking about Mr. Cub, and it turns out we're going to, at least we'll probably talk about Mr. Cub, but we'll congratulate Ian on Champagne Problems winning the groupie doll at Ellis. They had a really nice card at Ellis yesterday, and some nice maiden looked like, but it was Champagne Problems in the Group 3 groupie doll. And Calvin Burrell getting another graded stake win, and Ian certainly to be commended, and continuing to give Calvin a chance. He's riding sparingly, and what a nice score for him as well. Ian Wilkes joins us. Congratulations.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
No, not at all. We'll start at Ellis, and we'll work our way back to Saratoga. And this was, for $100,000, this was a nice group of 10, and she was terrific in here, the Go Zapper filly.
Yeah, she was. There's no easy spot at Ellis. Ellis has got tougher now, you know, and been very competitive. And it was a little planning into this race. Calvin and I, and you know, with the owners, we planned on this race because of the Grade 3 we were looking for this filly to enhance her value as a broodmare.
Well, and you got that done. She'd participated in, you know, in some listed stakes here and there, Fairgrounds and Churchill. The unique configuration, sort of a partial elongated one-and-a-half turn kind of a situation. So something in between one turn and two turns. And she had run at Ellis last year and ran pretty well, actually, in that allowance. She won the allowance. So you had, you know, at least that going in. She took a little money.
Yeah, exactly, Steve. You know, and I think I ran her at might have been a king and a mile and a 16th, and Calvin just felt like she was better. Probably, you know, anywhere one turn up to a mile is probably her best. You know, her favorite distance. She can run two turns, and when he got off there, I said, "Well, Calvin, let's point everything for the groupie doll and what we do." So we shortened the back up to 7/8, ran good, and then we ran her a mile. She won that at Churchill, and you know, I resisted the temptation of taking her to Indiana. I could have taken her to the race a pinch hit one at Indiana, but I just felt like she'd be a little better fresh, you know, coming into this race, and I put all my eggs in the one basket, and sometimes it makes you look like a genius, and sometimes you end up with the egg on your face. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not only do you look like a genius getting the Grade 3, but I just went back to see if the figure, and the figure did post, 95 buyer, career best.
Oh, wow, that's good, yeah. She, you know, talking to Calvin, you know, she wasn't totally comfortable being down on the inside, and it wasn't until he got her just a little bit of clear space and got her towards the outside that she got going. So I'm very proud of her.
What does this do for you now? Kind of opens up a lot of possibilities.
Exactly. I'll probably look at Churchill. There's a race at Churchill. I think it's two turns, but we'll give her a shot there. And then we got, you know, we'll look at the fall, runner in the fall, and then we'll talk to Randy Block, Brad Stevens, John Seiler, Fred Merritt, and Dave Hall. We'll have a talk to them all and see what they want to do at the end of the year, you know, whether we keep on racing her, or whether she goes to the Broodmare Band, or whether they sell her. You know, that's going to be, that's a fun thing. That's a good problem to have when you have a little success like this. That's a good problem.
You would think, though, she is midway in her four-year-old year. She's a Go Zapper out of an APND mare. Kind of get the feeling that she may, at full maturity as a five-year-old, there may be more to get from her.
That's a possibility, you know, and that's not off the table, you know what I mean, for her to race again next year. You know, that's not, it's not a foregone conclusion that she'll be retired or anything like that. It's, you know, we'll get to the end of the year and evaluate her, make sure that she's happy, make sure that soundness, she's good, and we feel like there's another good 12 months, you know, we'll plan on that, you know. But like I said, it's a good problem to have and decide when we get towards the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. You know, I will put in one race. You may not have looked ahead to Belmont, but that first weekend at Belmont, there's the Royal Delta, which is one turn, mile and a 16th, non-winners of a grade one or grade two, which really would fit her perfectly.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. To be honest, I haven't looked ahead too much. I just know there were some races there at Churchill and that. I'll take that in consideration, Steve. And then, you know, if we go and we do good, I'll have to thank you.
I'll come down and I'll pose in the picture. How about that? I'll jump in the picture like I did that day at Aqueduct.
always welcome, Steve. You do a great,
I love that.
Great job for the game.
Well, too kind. Ian, let's talk about what else is going on, because you're running everywhere. Saratoga, obviously. I mentioned Mr. Cub, and he felt like one of the players in the lure on Saturday, and I'm wondering if the give in the ground kind of did him in.
Yeah, it was just too soft for him. He just never while he was in hand for Chris, he traveled good. But then once he got off the bit, you know, and asked him to run a little bit, he was just helping plow the field up. You know, he was just wasn't going anywhere. And I liked Chris took care of him then, because, you know, he's beating a dead horse, you know what I mean, the expression. We just had to save something, and we'll bring him back. And I'm going to take a shot in the Tourist Mile with him. That was my sort of goal. I want to get the race. But, boy, every time we put him in, it rained, you know, and that it really hurt us.
Mm-hmm. Well, so with Kentucky Downs looming, why not head in that direction?
Yeah, he's won over that track too, you know, so I know he likes that track, so that was a good thing. And we always had that in the back of our mind. If we're going to give him a shot, we wanted to give him a shot again in that race.
Mm-hmm. I like it. And can also spend a minute talking about what else has gone on for you overall at Saratoga. And you got an early win. You got an early win for Mrs. Whitney, which certainly had to be special. It's always nice that Mary Lou gets to celebrate a winner each summer.
Yeah, well, you know, there's no words can say enough about Mary Lou Whitney and John Hendrickson, you know, what they've done for the game, what they've done for Saratoga. And it's always great to win for them up here. And, you know, that's extra special.
There's been a couple of special moments, too. And I think we got to also fold in the win by Big Dollar Bill in the Birdstone, and son-in-law Chris Landeros' first win at Saratoga.
Yeah, what about that? And even goes back to Dennis Farkas, who owns Big Dollar Bill. That was his first Saratoga win and his first stakes win. So there was a first all the way around there for the guys, and that was great. He's been an honest horse, and I always talk to Dennis. I've always wanted to stretch this horse out, because he's got a nice cruising speed and he's got a great turn of foot. Now, I think it just would be a great asset. He's probably a notch below them real good horses going a mile and 16th, mile and an eighth. But just so if he can get into a nice rhythm and close, he's going to be pretty salty in that sort of spot.
There's those opportunities have certainly been expanded in recent years, and you know the extra long main track races, and of course you shipped out to California to win, and you know you know how to scout those spots. You and Brendan Walsh.
Yeah, Brendan, he's a good horseman. He's it's a great competitor, you know, to run against him. You know, he's a great competitor.
Mm-hmm. Ian, let's talk about some other spots and that haven't gone as well, and how you're going to regroup. McCracken in the Whitney, obviously, and if we go back to the Vanderbilt, done deal. And you know, how do you regroup with those two?
Well, McCracken, I sent him back to Kentucky to freshen up a little and evaluate and decide on which way, how I approach the next phase. And you know, I'm a little on the shelf at the moment there, decide how I go approach anything or what I do. And done deal, he's fine. Boy, that horse ran a freakish race, and for real hint. When he galloped by me, that's exactly what he did. When he galloped by me, it hurt my horse. I knew I was backing seasoning. So I probably, you know, hindsight, I'm a great second guesser. In hindsight, I probably chose the wrong race. I was excited. This horse is doing so good. Done deal. I probably should have went to the tail to chat with him, being more conservative this time of the year, but I just felt like I had to give him a shot, and I did. And he's come out of the race good. And you know what the unique thing about this horse is, Steve? He can run turf or dirt, this horse, and I don't know which surface he's better on. He runs just as good on either one. So I'm looking at the Kentucky Downs sprint, and you know, I may point him for that race in Kentucky Downs. The money's good. I know he can run on turf. And so, you know, that's a possibility where I may show up next with him.
All right. I want to ask about a maiden winner. And, in fact, the same group as Champagne Problems. Motobella, the violence filly, looked okay.
Yes, yes. Very, very good filly. I really liked her before her first race. And she got back in the field and got really good. It was a better race than it looked, and got a lot of schooling, a lot of seasoning in that one race, and come out and ran a bang-up race next time. And CJ McMahon rode her for me, and he felt like he still had a lot of horse left there. So I actually, you know, I'm going to go out on a limb with this filly. Actually, I shipped to the Saratoga, and I'm possibly running her in the spinaway because... Mm-hmm. The grade one, if I can be 1, 2, 3 in that, that's her resume would be, that would really help her. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't blame you. And you know, what's going to happen is she's going to show up in the PPs. People are going to see the maiden win 62 buyer at Ellis, and they're going to dismiss her, and that'll be a mistake. Go watch that race from July 28th. Motobella. Wins off by widening lengths, and you know, did it with style. What else do you have between now and Labor Day? The condition book, third condition book, just went online. What can we look forward to next couple of weeks?
I get a first time start today for Mary Lou. Runs today. You know, he's still playing with the fairies out in midfield. You know, his mind's not there, but of course, if he catches on, it's okay. He's all right, that horse. And then I've got, I haven't even seen the book. It's out now, is it? I've got a couple more to run here, figure out where I run back here. It's getting to a couple more two-year-olds to run up here. And I didn't bring as many two-year-olds this year. I had a little trouble with the track last year with my two-year-olds. They really struggled, and I got a few, so I was a little more conservative with them, left them in Kentucky. And I'm going to ship them up as if they're ready and run
sure.
That way. Yeah.
Well, Ian, it's already been a good meet. You're having a great summer at Ellis, and that should all feed into a very big fall at Churchill and Keeneland and beyond. But there's still plenty to come between now and Labor Day. We appreciate it, and congratulations to everybody on the assorted success.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate it. You know, and it all goes back to one thing, nice horses, Steve. You know, that's, you know, I'm fortunate enough to have nice horses. You know, I'm only as good as they are. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And of course, it's all Tracy. She's the key to everything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
None of it happens without Mrs. Wilkes.
That's right. Yes. I need someone to keep that in going.
Tell her I said that.
I will.
All right. And you're not going to, we're not going to hide the summer pasta from her this year. We're going to make sure she gets some.
I did last year. I hid it from her.
I'll tell everybody that story later. Ian Wilkes, everybody. Always great. Let's take a break. Our last of the morning. We'll come right back. John Velasquez before we get off the air. And congratulate Johnny on the two big wins in Chicago. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
Are you on? University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, just about 10 minutes to noon. The race day starts, of course, at 1 o'clock here off the turf in the first and the third, and happy to fill out the show this morning, which has been busy with all the good weekend racing with John Velasquez. And Johnny goes to Chicago after taking a couple of days off, a little bit of a balky ankle, but he worked out horses on Saturday morning, including Vino Rosso, getting ready for the Travers, and then jetted to Chicago and takes down the Secretariat and the Beverly D. Johnny, congratulations.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Johnny, sister Charlie, I mean, Chad is saying that, you know, at this point, she feels like one of the best turf fillies slash mares that he's had, and he's had a bunch of good ones. You've been able to enjoy the success on her. Talk about the Beverly D win.
Well, I think, you know, we had a good trip. It was the most important thing, though, you know, and didn't let it stay too far back where she had to do too much to make up too much ground anyway. And she reacted right away, though, you know. So once I had a position that I was happy with, and by the 3-8 pull, I started to make sure I get in some sort of gear. Once she got around in her gear, well, I knew I was in good shape, and she responded right away down the stretch.
She don't want to use the word push button, but she certainly is responsive, and it feels like she's got that tactical speed that you can ask for in a couple of different places on the track.
Well, the thing with her is that she's not very good from the gate. Just the first 2 or 3 jumps, she's not very good from there. But, you know, if you leave it alone, then she'll be too far back, and it's hard to catch up. So it seems like I kind of found a little bit of ways better that even if she breaks slow, I try to put it into a position that she don't have to make up too much ground. And after that, she's pretty handy, really.
How about distance wise? You know, you've had her going the mile and a 16th, the mile and 1/8, now the mile and a quarter, mile and 3/16. What do you think is her perfect range?
You know what? Like I said, it's all about how we can place it, you know, for the first part of the race. But I think between the mile and 1/8 to a mile and a quarter, it seems like it'll be the perfect distance for her. And also how she breaks and how we can place it where she doesn't have to make too much ground from all the way from the back. But obviously, she's shown she can do anything. It just happened to, you know, get in a nice, comfortable position the first part of the race.
Well, this is obviously a special filly, and you're sticking with her wherever she's going.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm glad that actually they allow me to stay with her and give me the opportunity, you know, to follow wherever she goes. So I'm very thankful for the owner and Chad to give me the opportunity, you know.
Well, Chad's fourth straight win in the Beverly D, which is just an outlandish accomplishment. For you, that's your first Beverly D, yes?
Yes, yes. I mean, I because obviously we're here in Saratoga, and normally it's a big day here in Saratoga, so it's hard to get out of Saratoga, you know, those big days too. So I haven't had that many opportunities to go to the Arlington Million weekend or day the way they have it right now. So I haven't had the opportunity to ride it very much.
Well, you know, you win races like that, and they'll have to redo your plaque in the Hall of Fame.
Well, you know, good horses make you look good. that's all that counts.
Well, you also won your first secretariat, and this one, when we look back, this was not as big a surprise as the price indicated, because really Carrick had run very well, and you rode him down in Delaware in the Kent, and he was making progress, but the horses up front didn't come back. You must have, based on the way you rode, you must have had a lot of confidence in this horse.
I liked him, though. You know, I don't know why he was such a long shot. I mean, obviously, the race was shaped up a really tough race the other day. But I rode in Delaware, and I had a horrible trip. If you watch the first part of the race, I mean, I was in trouble for the first half a mile of the race. And then he still, you know, finished third and trying really hard. So anyway, you know, going over there, I know the race was, I mean, he had to step up a little more, and the race shaped up really tough. But as soon as I watched, I had the two horses that I thought the best horses in front of me, I started going, okay, this is perfect now. I can follow these two horses and hopefully have something to fight down the lane. And he set up perfect, you know, and then I put it right behind Jose Ortiz, and I followed him all the way around. And when I asked my horse, he responded really, really well. So, you know, there's no surprises when the horses run like that after having a horrible trip in the prior race. But obviously, he stepped up big time for that day for the sixth area.
Well, and you've been coming up very big throughout the, you know, throughout the whole meet. And here at Saratoga, back now for the run to Labor Day. And, of course, the Travers next week. Some thoughts about Vino Rosso from Saturday morning's work?
Well, he worked really well, and he always seems to work well anyway. And we every time he has to be in the dry track, and I just hope that he, you know, for the Travers, we get a fast track, meaning a dry track, not even with the moisture that we had last time we ran in here. So hopefully he can show up, you know, the way he actually works in the morning. So it's all about getting a good track for him.
Well, and then, Johnny, it's hard not to ask about Wonder Godot and, you know, the association there. Some thoughts.
Very fortunate to be on it. I'll tell you, I mean, I've been riding most of the year this year, and seeing her change and growing the way she's done it, you know, the last couple of races, the way she's putting up is very impressive. So, you know, but we know it was there. She's always knocking on the door and trying really hard. She seems like got everything, you know, together now and a lot stronger. Definitely. So she's definitely a wonderful feeling.
This is an interesting gambit running against the boys in the Travers.
Yes, it is, but I mean, she has done nothing wrong since she got the blinkers on and everything, and she's distance won't bother her. I mean, I'm running against her, you know, that's for sure. So I definitely have to watch out for her, you know.
Well, the Travers shaping up terrific week from Saturday, and Johnny, it's already been a terrific summer. A lot of good maidens that are emerging as well. One quick thought: any feel about some of the horses for Todd that are not breaking and not getting into the race as early as we're accustomed to seeing?
Well, it's like everything, you know. Every year we're accustomed to have those really fast horses, and then they come out of the gate really well. I mean, this year. If we look back, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, you know, we had that same kind of style of horses that, you know, they're not completely ready, and no horses that they weren't quick at squeeze like we have the 2 year old like this year. And that's basically what it is. You know, you go through those years, you don't get those very quick horses, and no matter what you do, they're not really very fast from the gate. Eventually, they get it, you know. They're slow learners, and you hope that they you know, they put it together and move on, you know. So that's the way it goes. So, you know, it can't be every year that you get all the fast horses and all the dead horses. So I think that's, we have to go through the cycle of it.
Absolutely. Well, meanwhile, a lot of good racing to come. Good luck this afternoon, and Johnny, congratulations on a very special Saturday in Chicago.
Thank you very much.
John Velasquez, everybody. Nice to catch up with Johnny. And there's so much more we could have talked about, but I had to ask that question about the gate. Yeah, that's been one of the interesting developments over the course of the summer. I will get the selections finalized now that we've got the scratches, and put them up. And we'll see you over at the racetrack. Dark day tomorrow here, obviously, and a chance to reset for the last 3 weeks of the season. And we still got more recapping to do. We never got to Shug, so we'll catch up with him and Boyd Browning and much, much more tomorrow. If you missed anything, replay 6 to 9 here on Sirius XM. Or use the archive or the stream. Good luck today. Talk to you in the morning.
Racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Join us at Presque Isle Downs for our two biggest days of racing. Sunday, September 16th, the $200,000 Presque Isle Mile. Monday, September 17th, the Grade 2 $400,000 Presque Isle Masters. North America's top filly and mare sprinters compete in the Premier Breeders' Cup Prep Race. Free Presque Isle Masters hats for the first 1,000 fans. Free t-shirts each night for the first 500 fans. September 16th and 17th, Presque Isle Downs, Erie, Pennsylvania. For more, go to PresqueIsleDowns.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.